Five, four, three, two, one. Welcome to Blowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast, where I, Joshua Teehee, and my co-host Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts talk about all things Fresno. There it is.
Hey, pop culture. What's up?
What else we talk about? Everything. Food.
But politics. As long as it relates to Fresno.
Right. Yeah. It's all about Fresno here on Blowing with Famous. So, we can jump into it and talk about what?
It's the new year. It's our first official show under a new administration.
Oh yeah, mayor, new mayor.
We have Lee some Brandt. a month's worth of work to look at.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's done a really good job so far. I feel like he's totally making good on the type of mayor that I thought he would be. So, and some in what I would think are some controversial times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a rocky...
Right.
A little bit of a rocky... politics are pretty difficult right now, so...
Right, right. Yeah, so within, like, I don't know, less than a month, he gets called out for this whole sanctuary city thing, right?
Yeah.
Because President Trump is going on a rampage or whatever and wants to build a wall and send all sorts of people back. And I think, you know, rumors are that there are ICE agents, which is like the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
The people
that
go,
they did yeah. that, I want to say. And
they're going door to door.
Yeah, they did that, I want to say, around 5 or more years ago,
yeah,
feels like,
yeah.
Where they just did that big push of just busting down right. doors.
Yeah. So they're in town, or rumor has it that they're in town. I haven't really been able to find one way or another. But, you know, a lot of places in California are sanctuary cities, which essentially just means that the law enforcement isn't going to work with the federal government to bust anyone for immigration status. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but the thing about it is that Lee Brand got in a little bit of hot water, I think, with some people because he says that Fresno will not be a sanctuary city. His original comment, he came out and said, you know, Fresno is not a sanctuary city. We're not going to be a sanctuary city because we don't want to risk losing federal money, right? Because that was another thing that Trump's was, you know, sanctuary cities, will just stop giving them federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he says this and a lot of people are mad, you know, and I think there were talks of, you know, protests and stuff, and people were very angry. And then he sort of clarified, and he, you know, I heard it actually on NPR, and then later it was in Fresno B, but the clarification was really kind of smart. And he said, you know, look, we do all of the things that sanctuary cities do. So, like, right now, the Fresno Police Department does not arrest anyone for immigration status. They don't check immigration status. They don't really care about immigration status. They don't really work with federal agencies to, like, test immigration status, any of that kind of stuff. Not part of it. It's not what they do. So in that respect, like, we are a sanctuary city, but he is not going to call it a sanctuary city because it risks the federal funds. So, you know, really, if he were to, you know, saying that you're a sanctuary city is just saying you're a sanctuary city, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's no real definition other than
there's nobody. So nobody from the feds or the president's office, whatever have you, is going to be coming around looking over the police, Fresno PD shoulder saying,
right,
you said you weren't Sanctuary City. Weren't you asking that guy for his ID?
Right. Right. And so, you know, and so that's the thing. Things are going to operate the same as they always have, which is Fresno PD will not, you know, does not really deal with people's immigration status. They're not going to arrest you for it. They're not going to check for it. They don't care. They're not going to say they're a sanctuary city because they don't want to risk, funds being taken away, and which makes sense because, you know, the benefit that you get from calling yourself a sanctuary city is probably outweighed by the, the bad things that would happen if suddenly, we find ourselves, having funding withheld from the federal government because of this. So I think it was a smart, kind of diplomatic move. And I felt like he did a really good job of explaining the city's position on it. So,
well, I mean, if that, really all cool. That's true, it is, and it, we can't. If it were a thing of where that we were having to check and we weren't, we're actively escorting people that weren't documented out of here, then I would think that would be wrong, because especially for any valley city to do that would be dumb.
I think the county does, you know. So the county actually has ICE officials at the jails. And they check people as they're going through, as you're being booked into county jail or whatever. They actually have, and that was a big contentious issue with a lot of people too, because they don't think that the county should be working with the ICE as well. But so
nothing Brand can do about that.
No, and that's what he said. You know, he said, you know, that's up to the county, whatever the county does. But as far as, you know, the local law enforcement is concerned, they're treating everyone equally. And I mean, I think it makes sense, because if you start down that road, it makes it hard, because suddenly no one's going to want to talk to you to help your investigations. No one's going to want to report crimes because, you know, they don't want to fear getting taken into. So other people are going to prey on those people and blah, blah, blah. And so it's
a it opens up a whole thing when you're afraid to do anything poke your head out for anything. It opens up a whole kind of problems.
And statistics have shown, statistics show that it's actually sanctuary cities are actually safer than other cities, et cetera, et cetera. And it might not matter because, California may become a sanctuary state, and which, you know, so the whole state will just be a sanctuary, you know. So, and if that happens, whatever. But no, I think that could have been a sticky situation, and he handled it pretty well.
Yeah. So basically, everyone just don't tell Trump.
Right.
We're still taking our federal money, but also not checking anybody's immigration status. So.
Right.
It's like, buh, 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 buh.
Right. And I mean, I guess there are some people that probably, you know, I mean, there is something powerful in being able to stand up and say, no, we are Sanctuary City. F you.
Right.
But is it worth it?
Is that worth just being able to say it?
Right. Just the statement, because that's all it is a statement, because on the back end, we're operating much in the same way other sanctuary cities operate. So
until the day that, you know, Trump's cronies come around and say, hey,
right,
you said you weren't a sanctuary city. Let's get a moving here.
Right.
And it's a good plan.
Heck, that could happen. Yeah. So. And then, last week, the mayor also, dealt with and finally got signed, law, I guess, for the, slumlord housing law thing. I don't know. Did we ever talk about that?
No,
very much.
No, we didn't.
Anyway, lots of slumlords in Fresno, and they there was this housing, I don't know what they, not a law, but that essentially was going to force rental people who rent apartments and whatnot, and houses as well, but mostly apartments, to do mandatory inspections to make sure that they're not, that there aren't people living in substandard housing, because there are. And it was this huge back and forth for a long time, and they finally had a vote on it last week, and the mayor came out victorious, and he got a yes vote on that. And so a lot of people are really happy, because it means that they're kind of moving forward and trying to make sure that there isn't, that we can identify slum housing in the city and then do something to stop it. So,
And for some reason, and, three people voted no. For
right.
And you can guess who.
Right. You can go down the line and figure it out. They were all Republicans and or crazy libertarian Tea Party type people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that was really interesting. But, you know, I think that was a success for him early in his mayorship.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I think two pretty good things right off the bat. So we'll see. And it just really, there was a opinion piece Bill Meekin wrote yesterday or the other day in the Bee about Lee Brand and these first couple days and or first couple weeks, and really good. I thought a good piece, and really kind of just put some good context into the kind of person that he is and the kind of mayor that he's going to be. And
Was that a Bill McEwen article? Or you said?
Yeah. Okay. Bill McEwen. Yeah. So he's definitely, you know, not a swear bear, you know, but I think he has his own sort of charm, and I think it's going to be good.
Have you met him yet?
Oh man. I mean, I think I have met him, but not like officially, you know, Hey, Mr. Mayor, that kind of thing. So
one day. Still got to beat Ash, swear bear.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to beat Ashley, but so, what else? What's our moving on?
Moving on. Well, we've only got a few months left to talk about the Fulton Mall.
Fulton Street.
Oh, yeah. It's still a Fulton Mall.
Right.
There's still mall properties.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can't drive on yet. So we're still talking about the Fulton Mall. We're past the halfway point. Mm-hmm. Everything, I guess, is on schedule.
Ahead of schedule from what I read.
That's surprising. With all this rain, you would think they'd be behind.
Yeah.
But it looks like shit right now, to be honest. Yeah, so I don't know.
Some parts of it look okay.
I mean, it's under construction. Obviously, it's gonna look like crap.
Less than the half a block or whatever that's open at the end of the Enyo side looks really pretty awesome. They have the lights up and everything. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked really good right there by Tioga. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
I thought that looks really good. I thought it looked really nice. And I can see it going all the way down. It will look really good.
Yeah. I hope, hopefully, all the fountains will work. I'm really concerned about the fountains not working. Uh-huh. I'm concerned about the lighting looking cheap. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then there was.
I didn't think the lighting looked cheap.
Really? You don't think it looks. I don't know.
No, I didn't think. I mean, I think it looked good.
And modern, there's sleek. There was a lot of the buzz before they actually laid the asphalt and you could see cars on it. There was a lot of buzz about it's too tiny. Is it going to be one lane?
Right.
And now it's been proven that you can put two cars on there, but it's super tight. Like if two Clovis dualies, one's going north and one's going south, come across each other, there's going to be some scraping, bro.
Okay. Well,
Don't bring your jewelries down Fulton Street.
We'll just have to keep those out. Just
no,
sure
there's
going to
be
know.
A sign. No jewelries.
You cannot come down this street. No trucks, no big rigs, no jewelries.
I think that's going to have to be, though. Seriously, no truck. Yeah, yeah. No, obviously, no big rigs.
Right, yeah, yeah.
No garbage truck style stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that
do
tight.
They have... You know, I think there's actually that right on Broadway, right at Tuolumne Stanislaus right mm-hmm. there. It's pretty tight already, like right in front of the Brio and some of those, the Broadway Lost down there.
Okay.
Right by the Rainbow Ballroom. Mm-hmm. It gets pretty tight. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty tight passages. So
I'll have to look
I assume
at
it's probably going to be like that. And you know, and also actually Fulton's the same way. Like, Fulton, just the other side of, Divisadero as you're going into downtown, it's pretty narrow, especially with cars parked on, you know, diagonal parking on both sides. So, I'm not worried.
We'll
I'm not too worried about it. I'm worried that there might not be any businesses left, on the mall from what I can tell, but,
I mean, God, everybody has to be dying on there.
I mean, so I walked down there this weekend, actually, to walk down to Tioga, someplace else, whatever. And it's kind of crazy, you know. I can't imagine having to get to someplace I wanted to, you know. I was just walking through, but... If I needed to get to a place, or being, you know, take three and having to explain to people, oh, yeah, you can get to us. You have to follow this weird little pathway, but you can still do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give it to them for sticking it out, and hopefully they'll get to reap the benefits when the whole thing's done. I think you're going to see, like, immediately just a boatload of people coming down, mostly just to check it out and see how cool it is. So
hopefully.
And at the end there, you're going to see the brewery district. The brewery district there at the south side, just taking off. So you'll have some place to go.
Yeah, the Fresno Bee's been doing all this posting about the Fresno's beer scene.
We love beer.
Catch Joshua Teehee on
the perfect pour.
The perfect pour.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
With Kathy talking all the Fresno beer stuff. Yeah. There's actually one we missed in that episode. There's another new one. On.
Is there?
Broadway, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
Is Broadway the one where Tioga and
Lana.
The street where Tioga's on and the auto place and.
Yep.
Or Pep Boys?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Over there, I think by that motor shop, which I think was where Lana is over there, maybe?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Somewhere over there, there's another one popping up.
Is not Border.
No, not Border Hop. Like, I think it's called, going to be called Broadway Brewery or something like that.
Yes. I did hear something about that just the other day, actually. So, yeah, so we're on it. See, we have a couple of like actual, like real reporter people, you know, and they're like looking at all the business,
the licenses,
Yeah, so they're following.
Oh, you guys got that those license tracks.
So
you must have been asking Paula.
Yeah, yeah.
Paula knows how to track down all that stuff.
Yeah, so that's beyond me, but they're doing that, so that's really cool. So we should see a bunch of those coming up.
So Border Hop's going to be a street over.
Yeah.
And
so there will be, that's four within a, you know, within.
Yeah, Full Circle, Border Hop, Broadway, Tioga, and then the Hop Dragon, House of Pin Dragon.
Oh, yeah, right.
Pita Dragon.
Yeah, so that's like five within walking, like within easy walking. You know, and especially if there's going to be something that's in between Full Circle and Tioga.
Yeah, that one's the tough one.
Kind of
the jump from Full Circle over to that area. That one's a little dicey walk, but it can be done.
Depending on which, way you go, I might not walk it. I might try to get a
during the day. I do it
or a Lyft, I guess. Now that Uber's or is Uber back in the back? Is Uber cool again now that their CEO? I think he stepped down. Stepped out of the.
Uber? It's come out as. Besides the fact that he was, you know, he was buddy-buddying with Trump. Yeah, yeah. But that, I guess before all that, he was considered an asshole. So.
Oh, well.
Like he's just not a cool dude.
Apparently. Well, see, that's the problem with, you know, smart people make these cool stuff. They can sometimes be assholes.
Yeah.
Then you got to weigh it. Anyway, so yeah. The mall's going to be out. There will be a road soon. It's going to take you right down to all your favorite breweries. Boom.
Just don't take your dually.
Right. Yeah. You will not be able to make it in your giant truck. So.
I think we're music time, bro.
We've gotten there already.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, so... let's do the band of the episode, and we'll just play it, and then we'll talk about it. So
all the stuff that's happening.
Band of the episode with
John Clifton Blues Band.
Now, baby, I'm gonna teach you what love's all about tonight. Baby, anybody can do it. All you gotta do is just let yourself go. Now don't be afraid, just relax and take it real slow. Cool it, baby, we ain't got no place to go. Baby, don't fight. All you gotta do is just let yourself go. Now all you need is just a little rehearsal. The next thing that you know, you'll be ready for the grand finale. So come on, baby, let's go. And put your warm red lips to mine. Take it easy, baby, we ain't got nothing but time. Just do like I tell you, everything'll be fine. Baby, I'm the only one here in line. All you gotta do is just let yourself go. Do is just let yourself go.
Let it go.
All you gotta do is just let yourself go.
Let yourself go. Oh, there it is. There's the John Clifton Blues Band. And
where's his brother? What's going on?
You know,
Mofo?
I don't know the whole story about that, but maybe 2 years ago, he went out and put together this solo project and got a record deal. And so he has the album out on Ripcat Records, I think is what it is. And he's been touring with that band for a while now. kind of Antisello thing. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard any kind of weirdness about it.
I don't think there is.
I don't really know.
I know a couple people or two that are
in the inner circle.
I'll have to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's maybe just, you know,
he's wanting out there, keep working. And it's like, everybody's like, dude, come on, roll. We'll need to work out every other weekend or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway, the reason we picked John Clifton is because he is one of several bands that will be on the lineup of this year's Fres Yes Fest.
Whoa, so, Fres Yes Fest!
Taiga Sequoia announced the lineup, and it is bigger than it has been in the past in terms of, like, more bands. And I think, I don't want to say better bands, because I think they've had pretty good bands every year. But I feel like this is one of the most solid lineups they've had. So John Clifton Blues Band is playing, along with Amaret, kind of poppy rock band who I think we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. Stone Shiver, which is a rock band. They're kind of like that 90s, I mean, sorry, like early 2000s rock, you know. And then The Box, which is a kind of cover band. They do a lot of cool stuff, like R&B, old school hip hop kind of stuff. They actually do a live karaoke show at Fulton 55 that they've been doing several months.
Have you done that live karaoke?
So I have not, but I want to. Okay. I think I'm going to go.
Wait, yeah. I want to go back to that. Will you finish the lineup? I want to go back to that.
And then headlining the whole thing is Strange Vine. So they're bringing Strange Vine back.
There's rumblings that they're going to actually finish their album.
I think it might actually be done for the most part. I think it's just the trying to get it out. I don't know. Every time I talk to them, it's just, you know, other stuff comes up, you know, they're working on it, but you know, it's one of those things they don't really have. So that's the good thing about having like a record label or having someone that's like, you know, really behind it is someone takes care of that whole process. They're like, here's the deadline. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to make sure it gets done. And as a band, all you have to do is like meet the deadline, you know? But when you're doing it yourself, like everything can come in the way, you know? So, yeah. And you know, Ian had a kid and, so, you know, it is what, but yeah, the press release that was sent out for Fres Yes made it seem like 2017 was going to be the year for the new record. So I don't know.
I'll be looking forward to that. To hear a new Strange Vine now.
Right.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the songs I think might be out in various forms or, you know, we've heard some of it before. So I don't know. But yeah, that will definitely be big. So, but I think it's a good lineup. I think it's solid. They've done what they've done in the past, which is have a kind of diverse lineup. So mm-hmm. it's not just the same kind of music.
Right.
So as far as, you know, local, like strictly local music festivals, I mean, I think they did a really, really solid job on this in terms of getting bands that, you know, people are really going to want to see and can draw a crowd and will put on a really good show. So I'm very excited about it. And then there's, you know, the beer and whatever else, food trucks and stuff that they're going to have.
Yeah, beer.
Yeah. That's and it's a free thing. So
you know, it's free, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they walk off Fulton for food trucks.
Right. Yeah. They did that last year. And I think they'll do that again this year. Although I think there was some talk of doing some stuff differently, but I'm not really sure. So, but it should be a great time. They had 5,000 people. They'll have a gigantic crowd again this year. So, and then on that similar note, Grizzly Fest also.
Grizzly Fest lineup announcement.
And it's there's a lot of local bands playing that as well. We Beasties. Oh, that's really probably the only one I can think of right now. Although I think the 1800s are playing. I'm just going to, I don't have the list right in front of me, but, and then the headliners include Revolution, reggae band, Loopy Fiasco, who's a hip hop guy a lot of people are really into, E-40, huge hip hop guy from the Bay Area, Dr. Dog, which is an indie rock band, The Commons, another kind of more punkish, band from Burger Records down in LA. So it's a pretty big lineup. That's not even half of them, I don't think. So it's a pretty big lineup. I think it's going to be a really good show. I think they've done a really good job of, growing it, you know, year to year to year. I think this feels really, like a step between what they did last year and, you know, making it just like a super solid regional music festival. So, yeah, I think it's going to be super, super fun. And, I think tickets are a little more expensive. I think they're like $45 or something, but you know,
you worry about that $45 Fresno's going to pay $45.
I don't think so, because I think that was similar to what they paid last year. So, and if you think about the bands that are playing, I mean, this is, you're going to pay Revolution. Let's say if they played by themselves and they've been through town before, I think, that would be like a $25-$30 ticket price for that alone. So, you know, you're getting a full day. I think it'll do well. So
how many do they have? Two stages?
So last year they actually had three stages. I assume they'll do three again, probably. So they have two, main stages down on the football field and back and forth. And then they had one in the concourse, but they may do stuff differently this year. I'm not sure.
Do they have bands playing at the same time?
No, it was back and forth.
So they had three stages, but only one band was playing at a time.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I think the third stage that was on the concourse, was playing at the same time as one of the other stages, but the two main stages, were kind of going back and forth. Yeah. And then at the end, you know, it was just they had one main stage kind of for the end of the show. So, but I was really impressed last year by it. And I think it's going to do, it really feels like that, biggest, you know, like a, yeah, like a
regional festival.
You know, and it's a way different feeling than Catacomb Party, you know, because it's in the stadium, and it definitely has more of a feeling of like a, you know, like a Warped Tour, like one of those kind of things. Whereas Catacomb felt a lot more organic than that, you know, like it felt more like, oh, just a bunch of people hanging out. But it feels legit, you know? So I think it's definitely something that they built on, and I think it's just going to continue to build, you know? So it's something that I could see in, you know, 4 or 5 years being like major, major in the way that maybe like the Aftershock Festival is, pretty big there in Sacramento. So, and drawing, you know, huge, huge bands like Slayer and Primus and whatnot, that kind of stuff. So, and then last, sticking on this concert festival thing, the Blaze Fest announced its lineup.
Blaze Fest, bro.
This is the, that's exactly right. And so it's going to be Shinedown, and Sick Puppies, All That Remains, and this band called As Lions, who, oddly enough, I don't know oddly enough, but their singer is actually the son of Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
Okay.
Lee is the frontman for that band, As Lions, and they're pretty cool. They're not like a metal band like Iron Maiden. They're more like just straight ahead rock, but like indie rock kind of, but pretty good. And then they're doing a series of, Battle of the Bands, and the winner of the Battle of the Bands, local band, will open the whole show. And it's happening at the Paw Paw Theater, which is different than it was last year. Okay. Last year they had it out at the Woodward Park. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm not, I like the Paw Paw Theater. I think it's probably a good choice for a show like this. I don't know. What do you think about the Paw Paw?
I like the Paw Paw. No, I mean, never had a problem with the Paw Paw. It's
I've actually only seen shows at the fair there, though. You know, like I don't think I've seen, because I know that, like, maybe I think Megadeth played there one time, not part of the fair. Some other band.
It seems like I've seen a show there when the fair wasn't in, but now I can't think of it.
Yeah, I've only seen fair shows there. So it'll be interesting to see a show there, not during fair time. And then, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the Battle of the Bands play out. I think they're really trying to get some a good representation of, like, rock bands. And I can't remember. I saw a list of some of the potential potential, and it was pretty good. It was a pretty good list. So they're going to have a series, like I said, a series of Battle of the Bands. I think they're going to have like three or four and then a big finale. I'm going to be a judge at the finale.
Oh.
So I'm going to get to tell those guys, you guys suck. I hate you guys. Or whatever.
Get ready, dude. Get ready to, like, get out, run out of there as soon as.
Right.
As soon as you judge, run.
I'm gonna critique them hard, man. I'm gonna be like, all right, dude, look.
Here's what's up. Look.
Let me tell you. Right. You know, I don't really like Battle of the Bands all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I think it makes sense for what they're trying to do.
Right.
And they're a radio station, and the radio stations do these kind of things. So, so that's it. There's your music roundup for the month.
Bum, 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 that's all I got.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some other stuff that's happening. I mean, lots of other stuff that's happening. That's kind of the major news. R. Kelly's coming to town. If you care about that.
Where is he playing?
Sound Arena. Huh. Sound Arena's actually got, they're doing pretty well booking for themselves. So they have R. Kelly's coming, and then they just booked this rapper, Immortal Technique, who's coming into town with Bone Thugs and Harmony. And so that should be a pretty good show for them. So I feel like they're really pushing hard, you know, because the Save Our Center is just like destroying it. They already have like 16 shows or something booked for the year, and some huge, you know, they have 21 Pilots coming in a couple weeks, which is like the biggest band of all time. Not all time. The biggest band right now. I mean, they're definitely like super popular. I have a bunch of songs on the radio. I think they have like five singles in Billboard's top 200 or something. Like, I mean, all at the same time, like, yeah, like some kind of crazy, like Elvis Presley status. And so they're playing, and then, you know, they have Neil Diamond coming up and all these country guys and I don't know, whoever else. So, you know, Save Mart Center is doing really well. But I feel like, Sound Arena is really kind of stepping it up and trying to bring in some acts as well. And even a couple of the casinos, you know, Robin Thicke is coming to Table Mountain next week, I think. So everyone's doing their part to make the scene cool here. So except for about this briefly.
Bodies.
Well, yeah, and also now Dynamite Vinyl that also closed.
Oh, yeah, Dynamite Vinyl closed.
Dynamite Vinyl closed, yeah. And I don't know any of the story, you know, other than what they posted on Facebook. I asked, and the guy said it's more of a conversation than just a message. And I was like, okay, and then I never had the conversation with them. So
it seems like it's just, I mean, I kind of, for what they said, it felt genuine. Just basically just saying, like, what I read between the lines is the music part was just too big of a pain in the ass, and that I don't know why you shut the whole thing down, because it seemed like the music part was right. the catalyst for shutting down.
Right.
I don't know why you had to shut the whole record shop down.
I think part of that was like, that's just kind of what the guy wanted to do. Also was like, and that's kind of part of why they had the record store, was so that they could have the the venue. So I think it may just have been, and if I'm guessing here, I don't know, but you know, that like, if we're not going to do the venue, I don't really care about the store, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it's too bad, because it was a pretty cool place.
You're kind of hurting for DIY spaces, right now.
Well, so here's the thing: they're happening, they're popping up. I think there's one in Madera, or some other, but these people are being careful Madera about one? It.
Or should we not say?
I can't remember. Well, I can't remember, but yeah, it's a studio, like an art studio kind of place up in Madera that I've seen a couple shows at. There's a place in Hanford, Pizza Place, that's doing some stuff. So, I mean, and I've seen actually a couple of house parties and things, different places that are kind of popping up. I actually saw a show at some like events hall, Ashland. I think it's the next Fresno Punk Fest or whatever. On Ashland Avenue, there's some events hall out there that they're doing. So I think people are moved, but it is definitely like a little more underground. Like, people are being very careful about what they say and how they promote it, because they know like it could get shut down, or you know, if the wrong people start talking about it, et cetera, that kind of stuff. So. So hopefully we'll see that Audie's opening up this year. Hopefully.
It's still an active thing where the new owner is still trying, right?
Last that I talked to him, yes.
Okay.
And the city, it was just that whole permitting process and all the stuff that he had to go to. And he actually was thinking, you know, he was contemplating like just opening it up and having a show there, and even if they weren't going to be able to sell alcohol or whatever, or getting a one-day permit or doing whatever they have to do, because right now it's there, he's paying rent, it's not open. Yeah. So, he wants to open it, but you know, the city, and it's the same thing. He was talking to the guy from the House of Pendragon, House of Pendragon kebab place. And they going through the same process. You know, Goldstein's went through the same thing. It took them, a year or whatever. So I think
you're process, dealing with an old building that somebody hasn't owned for a while.
Right.
You've got a whole list of things you got to adhere to that whoever owned it before didn't have to worry about.
Well, and I think because it's a new liquor license moving in, I don't know. Anyway, there's a whole, you know, I had talked to him actually just before Christmas, and you know, part of it was that the administration, the city administration, was changing. So suddenly there were, you know, people on vacation, people gone, you know, the whole thing, it was just, everything was up in the air. So hopefully that'll be coming back, because I think we need it.
Yep.
Every time I see, you know, someone will have one of those, this happened 4 years ago, kind of post on Facebook, and I see a show, a flyer for a show or something at Audie's, and I think, dang, that place was great. And not that Fulton 55 and Strummers aren't like holding it down. They're doing really great, actually. But I still think we could use that extra venue. So there it is.
Music.
All right. That's our music.
One more thing before we get into play.
Oh, no.
Okay. Clovis Unified.
Oh, man.
It's been a little bit here, but Clovis Unified did a very Clovis-y thing.
It's so close. Such the way of life. You want to
go for it? Go for it.
Okay. So, Buchanan High School, right?
Yep.
There was a drama production that they were doing there, a student production, I think. And they were doing this play, No Exit, by, I can't even think of the guy's
name.
It's
an old play.
Sartre. I'm pronouncing the name wrong. I should have had someone tell me how to pronounce it properly. It's the play where the line "Hell is other people" comes from.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty, you know, you've heard that before. Hell is other people. Yeah. So it's that play. It came out in the 1940s or something, and it's just this really like existential, crazy play. And they were staging it at Buchanan High School. They had one performance, and then it got canceled. And sort of immediately, one of the students in the play, and it might have been the student who was directing it, got on social media and just put together a campaign saying, hey, this is wrong. We need to, get a petition going and have Fresno Unified change their mind or whatever. Clovis Unified, rather, sorry. So it became this sort of viral thing. And over over one weekend, suddenly everyone was talking about how Clovis Unified was centering these students and, you know, talking about this play. And, you know, partly, so the student in the video was trying to make it seem like it was all about the fact that there was a lesbian character in the thing, and that, you know, one of the parents who had seen the play complained because maybe they were going to have to explain what a lesbian is to their children or something. And then there were all sorts of other possible scenarios as to why they canceled it. And of course, the school district, I think, just said that it was the mature themes.
Their statement was a mature theme, but the
right.
But the guy putting it on was like, no, it's because a parent said, I don't want to have to explain what a lesbian is to my child.
Right. And I mean, who knows what the real story is, but this is sort of the thing that happened. And it is very much like, it just screams of like the reactionary nature of Clovis Unified. You know, it always seems like Clovis Unified is ready to take a stand for some weirdness, you know. So
they're just a little behind the times out there. They're very conservative.
Well, if the play came out in 1940, then you see how far behind the times they are.
They're in the 1938s or something.
So you see, so every year they have this this thing, Banned Books Week, where they talk about, you know, like all the books that have been challenged by people at libraries and schools and stuff. And you read the list, and it's just like it's an insane, you know, Harry Potter, like all this stuff. It's crazy, you know, the Bible, like, you know, people just they. And this falls into that. And when I read this, I was like, oh, yeah, this is why we have Banned Books Week, because people still are all about, like, not letting students, you know, read stuff or think that, you know, somehow the content of the ideas that are contained within a play or a book are dangerous, you know. And it's like, really? I don't think that, especially something like this that, like, is, like, very heady. It's very, like, intellectual, you know? It's not like it's some kind of, you know, 50 Shades of Grey or whatever. I mean, it's very deep, like, And B, you know, it was in 1940, so how crazy can it be?
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing was Donald Monroe made the best point, was just like, you can't do this once the play is out there.
Right.
If you're going to stop it, you stop it before it ever gets it. Becomes a production. You don't do it after it's out there, and once it's out there, you just gotta suck it up and deal with it.
Well, and the thing is that the book is I think it was required reading for students, in the district. So the kids can read it, they just can't perform it. I guess it's a weird thing, and it's definitely Clovis. You know, it's like. Mountains out of molehills is what Clovis Unified is kind of good about doing. You know, they could have easily handled this, and but it also goes to a larger issue, which is like, school districts also, they always love to like control everything, like the stories that, you know, like, but we live in the age of social media, man, and like a kid with a camera and Facebook can rally thousands of people around a cause and really cause you problems. So you got to be a little more on it than you would normally be. So I think they got partially caught unawares, you know, because I think they probably just assumed like, oh yeah, we'll do this like we've always done. we'll send a letter home with the parents or whatever, and no big deal. But then suddenly here's a kid on Facebook saying, hey, sign my
Twitter
petition.
And Snapchat and Instagram,
you know, right, and then thousands of people are signing this petition, and it becomes a whole thing. And that being said, I don't think the play ever made it on back anywhere, and because I think there were several places that were trying to saying, hey, you can come here and
do it. Fresno Museum saying they can
Fresno Art Museum, I think
Art Museum
offered up their spot, and
they have a decent little theater in there. I've seen plays in there before.
They definitely could have done it, so but I don't think it ever they did it, so I don't know. I'm not sure it was the biggest deal ever, but it was something that everyone was talking about for a little bit of time. So, all right. We've done it. We've covered all of
February 2017. It's all covered.
It's all covered. So, but we'll be back in March.
Oh yeah.
To talk about some other things.
Might finally stop raining.
Oh man, it has been crazy. I was thinking about that. It's been some crazy rain. Flooding. There was flooding other day in North Fresno, to the point where people I didn't see anyone like, you know, their car actually
it's not real until a car is floating. I saw no floating.
Right. Yeah.
People were getting through it.
I did see
I want to see a car float. Then I'm like, flooding.
I saw a dude in a canoe.
There was one canoe.
That was
on
the news.
You gotta have a canoe, dude. You gotta have a car that's floating.
Right. You gotta have a car that's floating.
You gotta have some bridge that's blocked off.
Right. I bet you. Well, maybe not.
Sandbags. There's gotta be sandbags.
So, you know that little underpass right there on Maroa and Shield?
Yep. Yeah.
I bet that was flooded. Ooh, I bet. Yeah. I bet if you went down there, your car would not make it. You would have to roll down the window.
I'm just picturing you just totally unaware, just haul ass down that little thing and then boom, go right into the water.
Right. And then your car sinks and you have to like swim out. And then you're like, no, where's my car?
My car, bro. I was going to tower.
Right. I was trying to go to A1 Liquor or whatever. I guess you would be going away from
it. Yeah, well, the other way. Well, yeah, that wouldn't work. You're going to tower or not.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, it's time to plug it up.
Plug it up.
All right. So, So,
what Joshua Teehee, what the hell are you up to?
Me?
Yeah.
So I have lots of things. So I'll plug my day job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBeeHive.com. That includes a lot of cool stuff that we're doing, including this beer project, FresnoBee.com/beer. You can read all about the craft beer scene in the Valley.
Just keeps updating with local beer knowledge. FresnoBee.com/beer.
We also have our own podcast, the Fresno Beehive Podcast.
Oh, what? What are you trying to do here?
We have two episodes. It's not a Fresno-centric podcast in the same way as
you're trying to be like the Slate, huh?
So it's a little more. So the idea is the Fresno Beehive features staff, and we just sit around and talk about the stuff that we sit around and talk about at our desk all the time, you know. So so far it's been a lot of like movies and you know, pop culture stuff, and I think that's the direction we're gonna go. So if you're interested in hearing Rick Bentley you know, talk about how he interviewed Mel Gibson, and Mel Gibson has a crazy beard now, I guess.
He's interviewed everybody.
And, or if you want to hear, you know, Roy Appleton talk about playing Conan the Barbarian and how you can adjust the genitalia on your character or whatever, like, or, you know, Kathy will talk about the fashion at the Academy Awards or whatever. Donald will talk about theater, and I'll talk about music stuff. So I'll talk about how U2 is touring with Joshua Tree or whatever, and whether or not that's a good idea.
But not coming to Fresno.
So it's there may be some local stuff, and it's definitely, we're all local people, so like, we're going to give it a local vibe, but for the most part, we'll tend to talk about, you know, Super Bowl. I'm sure will be a big topic in our next episode, and that kind of thing. So anyway, we have that going on, and you can find that at FresnoBeehive.com. And then I will plug my band, It'll Grow Back, and the good work we're doing in this world. We have, I think our next show is the 17th of March at Strummer's. It's the 90s Slaughter Part 3. Yes. So that's that.
I want to go to that show.
That 90s cover show. So it
that's
looks
in March.
To be,
I thought it was this one.
No, it's in March. It's going to be really cool. So we are doing L7. Do you remember L7 from back
then?
Yeah,
I remember L7.
It's like the
girl hard rock band.
Girl, yeah, yeah. So we're going to do that, and then there's a band doing Sublime. There is a Pixies tribute. There is a Radiohead tribute, and The Offspring, I think. So should be a cool night. Should be real fun. And those, they've always done really well. Like, every time we've done one of those, they've had, you know, pretty close to sellout crowds, and we've always had a lot of fun. So Ted's coming down from Portland. We're gonna do it. We're gonna sing
nice.
Shit List. We're gonna sing Wargasm. We're gonna sing, I don't know. Those are the only two songs.
You picked that, one, boy. You guys picked one.
Well, let me tell you. So it's super funny because my whole year I spent thinking about who we should play covers of at this show.
This is what was going on in the back of your head through all the things you went through last year.
Yeah.
Constantly happening on a loop in the back of your head is, what 90s thing are we going to play?
Show. And we've actually had conversations before where, like, I feel like we're kind of a grunge band. Like, we play a little faster than grunge, but we sort of are kind of a grunge band. And so if you listen to L7, it's like, oh yeah, we kind of do that. That's kind of like, it's not that far off from the kind of stuff we play anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be really interesting. So that,
well, you do have a female bassist, so that
we do. Yeah, that's
not
good.
Everybody has that.
And then, you know, I'll be like, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know. We haven't practiced.
You haven't worked on your... who's the lead singer of L7?
Oh, who knows? I'm sure she has a name.
Put you on the spot.
I know enough about the band to not know much about the band. I know the songs. I've been listening.
Yeah.
That was one band that I never got to see in the 90s.
Wow.
I saw,
watch some live footage so you can match it. You're not gonna be a tribute band. You're just gonna
right.
Play
if I
them.
Can't, do you remember Babes in Toyland? Do you remember
yes,
there was a band called?
I
okay,
do.
That band I saw like 8 times.
How the hell do you see Babes in Toyland 8 times?
They played here a lot back in the 90s. Ask around, people will remember.
They're one of the bands. Yeah. When there's a band that stops in Fresno, you know they can't afford to get all the way to Sacramento from Los Angeles. They gotta stop and make some gas money.
Right.
In Fresno.
Right, right. Anyway, yeah, no, they played several times I saw them, but yeah, so that's happening. And then yeah, that's it. That's all I'm gonna plug. There you go. And what about you?
There's always the boring, the other three podcasts.
Oh, yeah. I love all those podcasts.
Dorktown Podcast, Comedy Podcast, Get Off My Podcast, The Harrison Ford Podcast, and The Perfect for Craft Beer
Perfect
Show.
Yeah.
Talk all about the beers. There's all kinds of Fresno beer talk in every episode, so you want to get local beer talk. It's in there.
Speaking of podcasts.
Yeah, and Josh and Kathy were on the last episode, so.
Yeah, no one cares about that. Speaking of podcasts. So Adam Carolla comes to town.
Yeah.
Right? He's here again.
Oh, Adam Carolla's in town.
Oh, yeah. Adam Carolla was in town. He did a live taping at the Jock Theater.
What happened?
Or every other year. So, they
have guests.
He's got a
beer.
They have guests. They have guests, right?
Mm-hmm.
Local guests always, right?
Yeah,
Chris Daniel. Yeah.
Oh, he's with Daniels, huh?
Yeah, he had Chris
Daniels.
So this year he had Gus and Izzy, right? From 105.9 The Blaze, whatever.
105.5 The Blaze. Fresno's rock station.
And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck? There's a podcaster, several podcasters in town. Not too many. But two that I know of that would love to be on his show. So I'm making it my mission.
Yeah.
My mission that the next time he comes, somehow I find myself on that fucking stage at the Tower Theater.
Let's do it.
And I'll bring you with me. Because
see, he's a radio guy, though. He's a radio guy that went to podcasting because he had no choice. And so he doesn't think in
no
podcasting.
Choice. He's like, I wasn't.
He thinks radio. He's like, well, who are the radio people in town?
Who's the radio guy?
Oh, yeah, 105. Yeah, whatever. Get them on. He doesn't trust podcasters. That's what he's saying.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I'm sure they were great.
Very professional.
They did great, Yeah, no, I think they would do great. And I know those guys, and they're real fun. So I'm sure they were great. No ill will.
Oh, no. Nothing to do with them. It's just I don't
Chris
think
Daniel,
Carolla trusts podcasters. That's what I'm
okay.
saying.
Okay. Well, all right. Anyway, I'm telling you now so that when he comes next year and books whoever else, I'm so sad about it, we can talk about it again. I'm going to try to make it my mission to get on,
all right.
get on that show.
Let's do it. Yeah. Teehee. Start a hashtag. Teehee on Carolla.
Teehee on Carolla. All right. So anyway, that's what I have.
I have a reco.
Okay, yeah.
I went down to Woodward Park. I go down to Woodward Park once in a while. And I took, for the first time...
Woodward Park, that's your recommendation?
Yeah, Woodward Park. Go to Woodward Park. No, the trail that goes down to the river.
Oh, okay.
It's like the Thomas Mack... Thomas McMichael Trail, Trail.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you go, you take it from, you're at the park there, kind of by, there's like a, kind of that old graffiti Shakespeare stage in the back of the park. You go from there and you can walk down and you can walk all the way down, straight down to the river, a nice little paved trail all the way down to the river. And right now it's all super green and super Portlandy. And you can walk right up to the water and maybe get wade yourself wade in there and just drowned or something.
We keep getting all this rain. Portland better watch out.
Watch out, Portland. We're coming for
we'll
you.
We'll bring some people back.
We're going to get green just like you, bro. No, but it was cool. Like,
no, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
I was just enjoying the fact that, like, I'm in the city limits and I'm here at the river and
right.
And it looks like nature and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's really pretty actually out there, and I'm sure right now it's even more so. Because I had been down there a while back. It was that, but I think it was, you know, in the summer, in the middle of the drought. So it wasn't really much to look at. So, yeah, that's definitely, you're the second person actually that I've heard talk about that recently. So go down there, enjoy
nature.
Get
down on the river trail somewhere.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, well, that is it. Obviously, people found us because they're listening to this. But if they want to subscribe, if they want to like...
Yeah, subscribing helps us get out there. And just word of mouth. Just tell your friend, you're listening to this. You either used to live in Fresno and you're listening to us to reminisce, or you're in Fresno. Just recommend this to the next Fresno standing next to you right now. Right. Everyone put hand on the person to your left.
To your left.
Tell that person, hey, you ever heard of podcasts? Do you like Fresno?
Here's what you do. You take their phone.
Yeah. That's what you do.
You get the podcast and you just put it right on their phone.
I've done that a couple times. That's the move.
Really? Because
so many people, like, I'll see people like three or four times are like, where do I find that again? Just grab their phone and just put it on there. Jam it in their phone.
Yeah, jam it in their phone. Or just be like, hey, what's your email address? And then subscribe for them.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, give me all your iTunes passwords.
Yeah, give me your iTunes password. Give me all. I'll subscribe.
I'll hook you up.
Do that for your friends.
Yeah,
because you care about them. Okay, you can find us on Flowing with Pod on Twitter. If you want to tweet us. Instagram doesn't make sense for us.
It just doesn't.
Facebook, do we do that?
You know what? I started a Facebook page for Flame of Fans, and then I got to like some sort of roadblock, like put in the password or something, and I was like,
So Twitter it is. If you wanna get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter. All right, that is it for us. I will count us out. 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm not gonna do it.
But it's
I'm
the end.
All right.
Don't leave me out here hanging.